produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
This radio program is produced by Caleb Padgett on United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World.
Greetings, everyone. You are listening to United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World. My name is Pastor Thandwe Nyoni from Johannesburg, South Africa. The name of our program is called Unete On Air. Ndizanati. This show is produced by Caleb Padgett, and welcome to the broadcast today. Good day. It's such a wonderful day. It is a day indeed that the Lord has made that we will rejoice and be glad in it. I'll just go straight to our topic for today. We're going to look at the subject when God says to a man, "Who told you that you are naked?" I suppose this is a topic whereby we find ourselves in compromised positions as abazalwane, as the children of God, and somehow we feel off. We feel as if siphumendleleni, we are no more in our position, and God will ask a question, ubanothe ungunu, who told you that you are naked? That is our topic for today. Welcome to the broadcast. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before your throne with worship and with thanksgiving. We know, Lord, as we come to you, Lord, in the bush in the matter, we come with open arms, we come with in the bush in the matter. We come knowing that you are a God that loves in the bokoshinda, you debo lava shinde between the bush in the bitu. You are God that sent your only begotten Son, that whoever that believes in him will not die but have an everlasting life. This day in the bush in the matter, Baba, we realize good. We declare it in the bush in the matagiki. We confess it in the bokoto. We believe it with our hearts that Jesus Christ died for our sins. We believe, Lord, in the bush in the matter, that he was raised from the dead so that we may have a life and have it to its abundance. As we continue learning and hearing your word, Lord, may it shape us in the bokoto. May it correct us. May it rebuke us, Lord. May it put us in a path. This is the day indeed that you have made, that we will rejoice and be glad in it. In your name, Lord Jesus, amen. And the boshata. Bazalwane. You know, when this topic came to heart, who told you that you are naked? I don't know, Andebosha, about you, but it is in those times when you feel naked. Angazukuthi, in your journey with God, how has your experiences been? But me, personally, there are times where I miss the mark. You know, when you miss the mark, when Jesus says to you, direction ingalendlela, you know when the Bible says you should love your God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your strength, and uphokophela all the time to do the will of God for your life. But there comes a time, sometimes you get irritated, isn't that? There are people that you feel are jealous, and there are people that you feel back in. There are situations, even if you like to. There are places where you just cannot be who you are, you know. Then God comes in and say, who told you that you are naked? Who told you that you're naked? But before we even go too deeper to a topic, let us just go to scripture. This topic is found in Genesis 3. It's the story about the fall of man. You know, la umuntu alahla I position yakhe kuNkulunkulu basically. And it just makes you realize ukuthi how vulnerable we were at the time, and sayilahla, you know. Yeah, it's, you know, when a person loses their position in terms of when God has put you in the wind, and because of your ignorance and ukungazazi your identity, then you lose of who you are. But let's just read the scripture before uthando ekhuluma kakhulu. We'll start go verse 1, then we'll finish go verse 11. Now the serpent, which that is Genesis chapter 3 from verse 1 to 11. It is now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" Remember, this is the Garden of Eden where God has put place to Adam and Eve to dominate, to rule, and to govern. Like us, Sisemhlabeni, where God is saying that we must govern lo mhlaba lo, subdue it, and take control of everything. Elamhlabeni, same applies. Then verse 3, it is, the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat food from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." Or you will die. Kancane nje uphoza lapho. What God was referring wayekhuluma ngokufa lapho. This reminds me of John 10:10, when the Bible says ukuthi the thief only comes only to steal, kill and destroy. But Jesus says, "And I have come so that we have a life to its abundance." When John 3:16-2, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whomever believes in him will not perish, but have an everlasting life." Perishing. Jesus Christ talks about abundant life. But life is like Genesis 3, it is, "Surely you will die." For me, it comes out as issue a spiritual death. Ask him again. "You will not certainly die," the servant said to the woman. Yeah, no? It sounds like a liar speaking. "For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. What would make a woman to have that desire? Ngizibuzile nje mangiyone mangibheka this part ngithi, what would really make her to desire it? Wasn't she aware of who she is already? Or is it there a possibility ukuthi the desire yesono ukungcola emntwini was already there? I'm just thinking, really, this thing made me to think. Because it just made me wonder, hore, the woman saw that the food was good for food and pleasing. Isn't that a reality for all of us? When God says sex before marriage is a sin, when God says that gluttony, when God says we should not lie, when God, like, the commands or the things that God has put in place, ukuthi singazenzi ezisilimazayo. Isn't it possible ukuthi we get enticed by things as evil because there's some evil in us? But ngiyazibuza ukuthi, wasn't she holy? Because that time, she came from Rebekah, Abraham, and created by God himself. She was created by God himself. It's just a wonder, bazalwane. It's a wonder. I'm just wondering. Maybe you'll wonder with me. The woman saw that the fruit of the tree is good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom. She took some and ate it. She gave some to her husband. Who was with her? The Bible says she gave to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Asibambe nje lapho. Then the eyes of both of them were opened. What does this mean? Then the eyes of both of them were opened. Were they blind? Ah, Jesus. And they realized that they were naked. Our topic here today, who told you that you are naked? They realized that they were naked, so they sewed fig trees together and made covering for themselves. Isn't that also has to do nukufa or spiritual death? They realized that they were naked. Isn't also related to disobedience? Ungalaleli uNkulunkulu when you do into ongafanelanga uyenze bese ikufaka kwezimo ezinzima okade ungazibonanga wena ukuthi uzongena kuzo. Isn't that possible ukuthi it's just the shift in the spiritual realm that had happened, taking them to a different direction altogether than the direction that God had ordained for mankind in the beginning? Isn't it possible, Jay, just possible, ukuthi this nakedness had to do nokulahlekelwa everything, the dominion, the peace, the love, or everything that God had ever given to men? Isn't it possible? Why would the Bible say their eyes were opened and they realized that they were naked? Isn't that telling you that there's a spiritual realm and a natural realm? There's a thin line. Isn't it possible that they lived in the spirit more than they were in the natural? When Jesus Christ says, Matthew 26:25, do not worry about your life. You know, it made me realize, seek first the kingdom of God. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. It made me realize that we have so much gathered or worked hard for the things of the world as opposed to taking care of impilo itself. Because when God says, don't worry about your life, meaning good, what is more important to God is life itself. So in this journey, like Adam no Eve, Mark and Mabeti, they realized they were naked. Jesus, isn't it possible, Uguti, the spiritual realm and the natural realm are connected, but it takes the spirit of God in the spiritual realm? Isn't it possible ukuthi Adam no Eve were so spiritual like God so much that in nakedness a physical was not physical for them? Being a co-observant, being a issue, but because of disobedience and sin, they lost a position and came to the natural side. Let in a enkulma ngayoku Matthew 6 ele abantu abayigijimisayo in terms of uswarisha ngokudla nani. Bese uNkulunkulu athi, why are you worrying ngakonke lonke lokho? Because mina ngiyakunakekela. Isn't it possible ukuthi that's why we really lost it? We really lost it. Singers understanding position ne identity yethu. I'm just asking, bazalwane. Let me continue ku topic yethu namhlanje. She gave some to her husband and who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes, okay, ngidlulile lapho. Then the basic verse it is, so they sewed fig trees together and made covering for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called the men, where are you? Why would they hit themselves? It's like a child knowing, Guti, I've done something wrong. Why would they hit themselves? That's what sin does to us, Bazalwan. That's what disposition does to us. We don't know where to run to. Funubalekela uNkulunkulu whilst we're supposed to be with him, especially when we have lost our position. Let us continue. Then he answered, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. I was afraid. Ifiye ivelaphi? In nakedness iqale kuphi? Why now would he say, I am naked? Their eyes were opened and they realized they were naked. Then our main verse, and he said, who told you that you were naked? Who told you that you were naked? Then Mabuza, have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? If I put it in my language, maybe I would say, did you do exactly that which I said you should not do? Who told you that you are naked? How many of us have really rebelled against the word of God, against imfundiso zakhe, in such a way that we lose our touch and we lose our direction in life? What is it that I'm learning from all this? What is it that you are learning from all this? What is it that we are learning, or I am learning from this? Who told you that you are naked? This makes me realize that at times we move away from God's direction and from the will of God for our lives. And siyanhlanhlatha, then sibone ubungcola kwethu nokuno nenakedness yethu bese siyabaleka, sifuna ukuhlala away from God. But what was more interesting was that Adam uthi, I heard you walking in the garden, ngase ngazifihla among the trees, ngoba ngizibona ukuthi ngingcono. The realization ukuthi ungcono. It also makes you realize ukuthi because of the covering kaNkulunkulu, i protection yakhe ngaso sonke isikhathi mawumuntu. I'm talking to the old people who are in the house of God, especially when you have received Christ as your Lord and Savior. It makes me realize that God covers you with his glory, with his love, with everything around him. It's on you to an extent that when amaloko uhamba la emhlabeni, nothing is impossible for you and nothing is hidden from you. You are just uyadlowa in the presence and in the life yakho usemhlabeni with God. But because of stepping aside and leaving your position through sin, meaning whatever that we do, pele engasintando kaNkulunkulu, it's sin. As we disobey God, it's still sin. So it makes you to be ube fearful into qala, because he said he was afraid. And it also makes you to realize that we are naked. I mean, imagine uba naked kushukuthini, uba naked pela kuthi, you know, and it also makes you realize, isn't it possible that because of our disobedience, we end up making things, the fact that they were trying to take trees, the fig trees, now doing that which God has never given them, they are creating solutions for themselves, things that God had never given them to cover their bodies with, because their bodies, according to God's direction, the body itself was a covering. The body kaNkulunkulu akunikeza yona lo mzimba lo wakho was a covering yona ngokwayo. So yeah, I don't know if you hear me or you understand this, Bazalwan. The human being, you are a spirit, you live in a body, you have a soul. So your body covers your spirit, it houses your spirit. Who told you that you are naked? You are naked because in amehlo akho, your spiritual eyes have died. You are dying to the things of the spirit. You only see the natural things. You now take that which God has used to cover you as a second class material, if I have to put it that way. The body itself was a covering. His glory was more enough for us. You know, when you go to Romans 8 verse, let's go to Romans 8 verse 35. You know, for me, this chapter or this teaching is reminding me, Guti, because of God's love and God's creation and God's how God has made us to be, we must always be aware of who we are. Who told you that you are naked? It means something has happened, a drastic thing of unlanguinzek. And ikshie unamaskaz, ikshie ubonangaza tungunu. Then umoe ngwelazo kubuzu kuti, ubane kuchele kuti, ungunu. Romans 8 verse 5 uti, verse 35, iti, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword, as it is written, for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Amen. We face death every day because the enemy roars like a lion looking for whom he may devour. But because of the covering, Gangunungulu, and because of his love, we are covered and protected. Because uNkulunkulu luthando, who can separate us from the love of God? God's love is sufficient for all of us. It's a testimony on its own. And we cannot even fathom this love. We cannot even understand it. We cannot even explain it. We can't. That is why most of us are explaining God, understanding it. But we know in part and prophesy in part. You tell us what you know about God, what I know about God, and what you know about God are always different, but similar at the same time. But God shows up and comes to us in different ways. Who knows God? Nobody can testify at ngiyamazi uNkulunkulu in his totality. Because he's the Almighty, he's the creator of the universe, the great I am. So who can separate us from the love of God? It is because of love, uNkulunkulu, who told you that you are naked? Who told you that you are naked? Who told you? It's like a child coming to dad, ubaba keseke ngcolile, bese ubaba fike athi, I love you. I'm gogise. Ingu. Yotando. I'm covering. I'm fagging manzi. I'm geza. I'm clean. I'm fagging batlezinj. Who told you that you're naked? This message is for some of us. At times when we hurt, and at times when we find ourselves stepping out of the will of God, and we realize that we are naked, and we kind of want to do it our own way, to salvage the situation, but umoyengcwele athi, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth because I am God. God doesn't need uncedo lwethu when it comes to his will for our lives. So bazalwane, as I conclude our message for today, I'd like to say to all of us, in the state of being naked, or of thinking that we are naked, may we run to Christ all the days of our lives. Because I've already read Romans 8 where he says, what can really separate us from the love of God? For nothing is impossible of God, and nothing can separate us from his love. Can we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that we are covered by your glory and your laughter, your mercy, your peace, and your love. We thank you, Lord, that because of your love, we are forever in your presence and we are forever in your eyes. We are forever covered and protected by you. Lord, uNkulunkulu ongahlulwayo lutho, ungubaba olothando, ubaba onhliziyo nye, ubaba othanda ingane zakhe ngawo wonke amalanga aso zonke isikhathi. Baba, sicela ke namhlanje wena uvule zithi inhliziyo, sivume ukuthi wena uhlale nathi, ukhulume nathi. Singake sibeke uzimo sesifuthi sizinaked, sithi sinde bokushe, singasaboni indlela. But Lord, may you help us to be guided and nurtured by your heart, by your love, all the days of our lives, in the name that is above every other name, the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Just before I go, I would like to make the announcements. Our event on the 30th of November has passed, and we would like to really thank God for a wonderful session or a relaunch we had. Unkulunkulu ube muhle waba mkhulu wenza intando yakhe kwabonakala kwaba kuhle kwaba bukhulu. For that we are grateful and we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your help. Then another announcement is that continually so I sell the CDs on my book, Getting My House in Order. The CD sells for 100 rands a copy. It's entitled Getting My House in Order, yes. And it was designed for each and every person, okay, awe, or maybe it's who can find themselves naked or who has missed the mark. But it's a time where I tell the story of my life where I had a mental and a physical breakdown. So it's a must listen to CD. So it goes for 100 rands. And over and above that, the services that we offer, Ganete Prodigy, we do motivation, counseling, and strategic planning. Our vision is to be in a world where all people are grounded socially and emotionally. Then the mission statement, we say we offer a social and emotional wellness service that speaks to people's souls, challenge mindsets, encourage good behavior, and heal broken hearts in South Africa and around the world. Our vision is just to see us healed in the arena of emotions and relationships. May God richly bless you, Mzalwane. May God richly bless you as you listen to the recording of Unete Prodigy and then the Bush and the Mata, as you also get your own house in order. In those words, I would like to say thank you to the United Kingdom Radio Network, and may God richly bless you. Amen.
This radio program was produced by Kayla Paget on United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World.
My name is Debbie Keller and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Well, greetings unto you in the name of Jesus. It is the mighty great grace of God that has kept us hitherto hidden right here in South Africa. Well, this is your Finding My Way Radio, bringing you Destined for Glory with me, Benjamin Kutswane, all the way from South Africa. And we greet you in the name of Jesus, and we thank God for yet another day that He has made for us to rejoice and be glad in. And I thank God today that we can embrace with you over the airwaves. We continue to proclaim the blessing over the Finding My Way Radio family and all the family of the Kingdom of God throughout the world. And you might be listening and saying, but I do not belong to that kingdom. Well, the Word of God is coming into you right now. And as the Word of God comes into you, you have received your invitation to take your place in the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we greet you today, knowing that this is the season of transition, the season of breakthrough, and we can only open ourselves to God so that He helps us with His word, because right in the middle of everything, God's word is the incorruptible seed. I greet you with these words that Jesus spoke, and He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall abide forever. So you and I, my friend, as we pause on the Word of God, we are assuming the stable place. We are assuming the foundation and the platform that can never, ever be moved. So let's pray together as we embrace our program today. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for yet another day you make for us to rejoice and be glad in. And Father, I pray for every listener throughout the world, wherever they be right now, thank you that we can stand in the faith in your word, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell therein. Upon this word, Father, we pray for every listener. We pray for the breakthrough of the miracle of salvation, the breakthrough of the grace that brings righteousness in the spirit, in the soul, in the body, in the character, in the material, even in the relations. And by faith, we receive as we bow to your word and as we continue to covenant to give all the glory, the praise, and the honor to you. Thank you for your peace that comes through your word. thank you for your joy that comes through your word. We release it right now, even as we submit that unto you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, dear listener, as I greet to you right now with these exciting spirit that is saying to you, we are living at a time of great transitions. I believe for the body of Christ, the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is the season of the shifting of the mantles and the changing of the guards. And we thank God that as all these happens, God is working all things together for good. And I want to greet you, because this word is going to transit and break every barrier. That's what the word of God is about, because it is by the word of God that God created all things and called all things into being. Now, in the book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 28, the Apostle Paul writes this word, for we know that all things work together for good for them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Now listen to this. If you are a child of God, this word is already coming with a challenge to you and I. It says, we know that all things work together for good. In the midst of all reports of the world, the challenge of this word is, what do you choose to know? What do I choose to know? As far as God's plan, God's syllabus is concerned, he has already sealed it for those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we know that they come to the place of knowing, which means there is no any other knowledge that will influence us, because we're standing at the place of knowing that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Well, you might be listening and saying, but how can things be working together for me in the midst of all that is happening? Maybe I've been affected. My family is affected by the development in the world. My family is affected by the conditions, even the weather conditions, the work conditions, the relationship conditions. How can it be working together for good? Listen to the condition. It says, to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. There it is, my friend. The key for you and I to turn everything to work together for good. The key for us to turn all things that have appeared as negative, as defeatist, to turn them for good. Here's the key. Loving God and receiving his calling. Yes, this distinguishes us now as we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are not just a people who have chosen some kind of a religion. No, we have come to a love relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And in this love relationship, it is not the love of our might and power. For the world says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, for we love him because he first loved us. That's where the love relationship begins, my friend. God has loved us. And as we receive the love of God, we are receiving the key to turn all things and cause them to work together for good. Because in God's plan, he has not planned anything evil for you and I. He has not planned anything bad for you and I. He doesn't have that in his plan. He's so loved the world, according to John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him. How do you believe in him, and what does it mean to believe in him? To believe in him means to receive his love. For we love him because he first love us. And as we receive the love of the Father, as we receive the love revealed in the gift of his Son Jesus Christ, we receive the ability to turn the key of all things, which means when everything comes your way, even when the storms come raging against you, even if the negative floods are coming along, you can lift up your hand and turn the key of heaven and say, all these things will work out together for good, because I love God, not with my own strength, not with my own emotion, not with my own might and power, but with the same power of his love with which he has loved me. For we love him because he first loved us. Oh, this is awesome. This is the great news. This is the most good news you could ever, ever receive. Now, here it is, as I close on the plan of God for your life, the plan for good. The word of God that says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, for God has appointed us unto good. We are created in Christ, it says. We are created in Christ unto good works. And then he says, we are God's workmanship, which means we are the masterpiece of God, which means you cannot make a masterpiece of art and just make it in order to throw it in the mud or to throw it in the dirt. My friend, if no human artist could ever do anything in just to throw it in the mud, even though they can, because they are human, or we are born sinners and we are human, with God, in whom there is no sin, in whom there is no variableness, in him is only that which is good. And it says, therefore, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that he has created you and I unto good works. And you can ask yourself, which good works are these? And it says, it is the good works that were made for us, that he has appointed us unto. Wherever you are, you have an appointment with the good. You have an appointment with the goodness of God. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, God knew you and I, and he poured himself into us. He knew us to the point that when he saw us in his pure image, in his pure likeness, and he fashioned us with his love. And as he fashioned us with his love, he prepared us unto good works, that we may walk in the good works, even unto good works. So it is from the good God into good works, to walk in them unto good works. So which means, my beloved, you and I, therefore, have all the grace of God today to turn the key and say, we choose to receive the love of God. And as we choose to receive the love of God revealed in Jesus Christ, we have received the grace to turn the key on every negative thing, on every evil thing, even as the evil surrounds us, even as the many things are being spoken throughout the world. Because today, it doesn't take much to know what's going on in the world. Just the flip of the switch of a television, just the flip of the switch of a radio, you are connected to all that is going on in the world. And let me tell you something, my beloved, this is not taking God by surprise at all. No, it is not taking God by surprise. For he says in his word again that the God of this world, he says, if this gospel that we are preaching is hidden, it is hidden unto them that are perishing, them that are blinded. Why? Because the God of this world blinds the minds of those that do not believe, that they may not receive the light of the gospel, the light of the very word of God, the light of the very love of God. Because the entrance of his word is the entrance of his light, and the entrance of this light brings life and brings light to our lives. And in the name of Jesus, I pray right now that wherever you are, you will open up your heart and say, Lord Jesus, thank you that you are the very embodiment, the whole totality, the whole Godhead of God's love. You are released unto me, and I position myself to receive your love. Because when I receive the love of the Father in the Son, Jesus Christ, I receive the key. I receive the ability to turn every situation to work together for good. This listen, my beloved, we are not in denial that there are negative things that we are living in, that we are faced up in this world. Even God knew about these things. But let me tell you something. God takes pleasure and he takes glory when you and I believe him. Because the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. And as we believe God, it is not only that he just gets pleased. No. When God is pleased, his pleasure becomes manifested in our life. When people look at us, they do not see us in our own abilities. They do not see us according to the glittering and perishing things of the world. No, they see us according to the pleasure of God in heaven, because he is pleased in us. I want to connect it here, my beloved, and say to you, if you forget anything today, remember that in the midst of all that is going on in the world, we are living at a time where there are reports and reports and reports throughout the world. And most of these reports are not good news reports, because they're the reports of the world in whom the word of God says that the God of this world, meaning the devil himself, has blinded the minds of those that do not believe. But to us who by his grace have received the light of the gospel, we need to know how do we stand in the midst of what's going on. How do we position ourselves in the midst of what is going on? And I want you to connect it with me right here. In the midst of the reports that are going on, we're going to read the word of God, because you must understand the word of God is the eternal word of God. God is the God who inhabits eternity. He operates in eternity. He's in eternity past. He's in eternity present. He speaks into eternity future. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ, therefore, has come to be what we can access. This eternity measure of God. Jesus is the door. He's the eternity measure of God. He's the measure of God. He is the reality of the eternity measure of God. And Hebrews chapter 13 and 8, therefore, then says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, which means the eternal measure, the eternal nature of God has been made accessible to us. We are given an entrance into the eternity measure of God through Jesus Christ, and therefore he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm saying this, my friend, to say to you, in the midst of all the things that are going on, there is a report all around us. But in the midst of all of that, how do we stand? I believe the prophet Isaiah was given a word and was given a glimpse into our moment and into times that were coming. In Isaiah chapter 53, the question opens this chapter and says, who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Here is a challenge to you and I in the midst of all that's going on. The question here, faith, which report are you and I going to believe? God was looking into eternity time. And he's asking the question, whose report do you believe? Or who has believed our report? And then he says, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? My beloved, God knew that you and I will be living in the times of reports, report after report, to the point that even the things that are spoken in the world, the political news, the evil news of our day, according to the different societies of the world, is report after report, to the point that sometimes it's like we are influenced by the reports of the world, and we minister from the reports of the world. And that's why this was, there was a travail in the spirit of the prophet. And I believe this was a travail that was looking into our time to say, who has believed our report? Which means, which report will we put our faith on? Can you tell us something, beloved? I believe God is revisiting us to clean the motives of our prayer, to clean the motives of our preaching, to clean the motives of our fellowship, to clean the motives of our testimony. To what are we testifying from? Because when he says, who has believed our report, he means, upon which report do we put our faith? Do we put our faith in the report of what's going on in the United States of America? No. All the things that are happening throughout the world, God knew about them. Jesus spoke in Matthew 24 that you will hear of the rumors of war. You will hear of the earthquakes and the shakings throughout the world. There will be famine. There will be all these sort of things. And he gave a caution in the very same chapter. He says, but understand this, the end is not yet. He says, but these are but just the beginning of sorrows. Now the word sorrows in Matthew 24:8, where Jesus says, these are but the beginning of sorrows. He means these are like the contractions. That word sorrows is the word that comes with the word of laboring. These are the beginnings of the labor pains, which means when you see these things, you must know that there is a blessing that is conceived of heaven. Why? Because all of creation was made by God. It is like when you see those things, is the climax surveyor of creation, which was spoken of in Romans chapter 8, that all of creation is prevailing for the manifestation of the sons of God. The question is, who will be the sons of God to stand in the midst of this, to stand and bring the answer to creation? I believe, my beloved, the sons of God are those who will believe the report of the Lord above all the reports of the world. They are those who will stand up and say, yes, we see what's going on in the world, but we are not moved by what we see. We don't see what we see. We see what God says. Yes, even though we might feel the pain, we are not going to worship the pain. We are not going to glorify the pain. We are not going to credit the devil. We are going to believe the report of the Lord. And let me say, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Those who will stand as the sons of God will be those who will say, we receive the arm of the Lord. We receive the revelation. No, he doesn't say who is touched by the arm of the Lord. He says, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Which means it will take revelation. And I believe it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. When we go down, he begins to speak about the fact in which you and I must rest our faith. Which means, my beloved, don't waste your faith in the many things that are going on in the world. Don't preach out of the fear. Don't even try to stir up fear in the people. Don't pray out of fear. No, let's pray out of the faith in the report of the Lord. Because the report of the Lord, it is the will of the Lord. Remember that, my friend. For he says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, he says, when we pray, this is the confidence that we have. That when we pray according to his will, what is the will of the Father? The will of the Father is his report. The will of the Father is the report of salvation. He says, when we pray according to his will, he hears us. Hallelujah. And because he hears us, it says we have the assurance now that we have what we are praying about. Now listen, what is this report? What is this arm of the Lord revealed? He goes on and he says, for he shall grow as a tender plant and as a root of out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when he shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. And he goes on to say, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Who is this, my beloved? What is this arm of the Lord healed? What is this report upon which we should rest our faith? The revealed one, Jesus Christ, whom we know by the revelation of the Father, even as Simon Peter said to him, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I want you to appreciate this with me today. That the prophet Isaiah was right in the spirit of prophecy. He was not yet in the time when Jesus is already passed, but the Father supernaturally gave him the eternity experience of the consummation of how Jesus was coming to impact and fulfill the plan and the conception of heaven. And he writes and says, who has believed our report? The question is, how much the more you and I? Jesus has come, my friend. He died. He rose again. And by his stripes, we are healed. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He was chastised so that you can receive peace. Our peace is not in the politics. Our peace is not in the religious things of this world. But our peace is in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the report of the Lord. So as we go through the things we face in this world, my beloved, remember it's time to put our faith in the arm of the Lord that is revealed. And this arm is Jesus Christ. Wherever you are, you can call upon his name and say, Jesus, save me. You are Lord. And when he declared that, the arm of the Lord is revealed unto you. I pray the arm of the Lord is revealed unto you, your family, the nation, and the community. And we can see it as we believe it for South Africa, for Africa, for the United States, and for all the nations of the world. In Jesus' name, receive it, my friend, until we meet again. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.